Let me invite you over to the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 20, and we'll begin in verse 1. Luke chapter 20, verse 1. Luke chapter 20, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your house, amongst your people, in your church, to worship you. And Lord, we pray your blessing on your church this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we're here. We pray your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, that you would be exalted, and Lord, that we would worship you in truth and spirit. Meet each need, Lord. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal that to their hearts and that they would trust you before it's eternally too late. And then, Lord, for those of us that know you as Savior, that we might seek to worship you in truth and spirit. Bless the service, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Confronting and Confronted by the Truth. Confronting and Confronted by the Truth. And that's important as we worship the Lord. We want to confront the truth. We want to say, Lord, hey, listen. And by the way, the truth will confront us. And that's really what the whole idea here is in the message. And then what will we do with that? We will have to make a decision, won't we? We will decide whether or not we will receive that and allow that to be our guide, or we'll excuse it away. We will just explain it away and say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, God will overlook that. Oh, no, he won't. Oh, wait a minute. Do you believe that? Does God just gloss over the truth and say, well, you know, you decide whether or not you should live in that or not. Listen, just explain it however you want. Here it is, you decide what to do with it. Is that what the Lord says? Listen, that will cause you to be in opposition to the truth. All those who oppose the truth are not really of the Lord. Now, walking in the truth is God's desire by his grace that we do by his power. And so when you look at this, we find here in this portion of Scripture, we're going to find that those who truly seek the Lord will find him. So why are we seeking him? Just for the sake of saying, well, I'm a Christian? No, we say, listen, we seek the Lord to walk with him. First of all, we seek the Lord to save us. And then we seek the Lord to glorify him. And then we seek the Lord to understand and to discover the infinite promises that he's given to each and every believer. Let me say that. The infinite, they never grow old. They're always fresh, and there's always more than we understood the time before. There's always more that God is wanting to give to every believer. So really, what will keep us from that is a contemptuous heart to the truth. And that contemptuous heart will become callous and blinded. And so three main things that we'll consider this morning that will keep us from receiving eternal life and a walk with the Lord. And by the way, I want to remind you once again, I'm on your side in this regard. I want you to discover God. I want you to enjoy a relationship with the Lord. With that, I'm on your side. Amen? But if we want to walk like a Pharisee, you oppose the truth. And if you oppose the truth, you oppose my Savior. And if you oppose my Savior, I can't be on your side. You wouldn't want me on your side. Amen? And so look at this as we consider this morning. In verse 1, it says, by the way, I didn't tell you the three thoughts. The three thoughts that will keep us from receiving the truth and walking in it is self-deception, human reasoning, and a revelation rejected. All right? Let me say that again. Self-deception. Is it possible to deceive ourselves? Don't answer this question. Have you ever deceived yourself? In other words, you deceived yourself maybe by the help of somebody else. Not that all salespeople are deceivers, but some of them are. And they sold you a bill of goods. You heard that before. And that could be a form of self-deception. Or maybe we wanted to believe something,
and took a step in that direction or walked in that direction only to find out that we fooled ourselves. And that's never a pretty sight, is it? It's never an enjoyable fact when we deceive ourselves. Listen, there are many that are deceiving themselves in their relationship with the Lord that are going to come to an abrupt reality that they're not going to appreciate when they stand before the Lord and they look into the soul-searching eyes of God to find themselves fallen short. And that's not what we want. And that's not what the Lord wants. And the only time that we have to make a decision is on this side. Then human reasoning. Let's just set aside the Word of God and let's talk about what we think we ought to believe. How far will we go in that? We'll fall flat short of what God's direction is. And then a revelation rejected. We see the Word of God and we say, well, you know, that's just for that crazy preacher to believe. And some of these crazy people that call themselves Christians. But as for me, I'm not going to buy into that. Even though the revelation was revealed. In other words, we see it and we say, yes, I can see that. But I'm not going to choose that. Isn't that amazing? People will do that, will make that choice. And listen, our human nature is prone to doing that. So God, help me not to use human reasoning. Help me not to deceive myself. And help me, Lord, not to reject when you reveal the truth to me that I might walk in it. So look at verse 1 again. It came to pass, and this is self-deception here, that on one of those days, what were one of those days? As he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. The gospel is the good news, right? The word of God. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? There's no other way. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble here. There is no other way to the Father but by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness applied to our lives. There is no other truth. I hope you can say that in the future too. And it will be by the same way you can say it today. And that's by the grace of God. Amen? That your eyes have been opened to the truth. All right. So here's the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Now, you know, you probably read this portion of Scripture. And you might be familiar. If not, you will be shortly here. What was their approach to the Lord? Did they come with an open mind, open heart, a desire to hear the truth? Or did they already have human reasoning working in their hearts? Were they all ready to deceive themselves in spite of what they heard and saw because of a predisposition on what would benefit them? Listen, that will guide us in the wrong direction. How will this affect me? That is not the standard by which a child of God walks. Otherwise, Abraham would have never followed the Lord. How does this affect me? Well, here's how it affects you, Abraham. You're getting ready to leave your home. To what? To wander out there to follow me. Where? I'll tell you later. Amen? I'll tell you later. And let me ask you this question. Did he ever regret following the Lord? Did God bless him with a son he would have never had? God will bless us with things that you and I will never have. Do you believe that? Amen. You will find things in God you will never find for yourself. Beginning with salvation. I would have never found that without the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. You believe that? I don't regret it for one moment. I don't regret it. I didn't say it hadn't been difficult, and I'm not saying it won't be difficult. But I am saying I don't regret it. The world would like for me to think I regret it, but I don't regret it. All right, ready? So, verse 2, he says, and spake unto him, these are the elders, the scribes and the priests on the bottom of verse 1 that came, and they spake unto him, saying, tell us. You see the false disposition already? You explain yourself to us. Now, do you remember who they're talking to? They don't know this, or they're not receiving this, but they are talking to God Almighty. You explain to us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Isn't that amazing? When we walk in a self-deceptive manner, we confront the truth with arrogance and pride and miss God completely. But I want you to see, in the midst of this, the mercy of God in verse 3. And he answered. He answered. God actually answered. Do you think God was threatened by them? Do you think God had to give them an answer? No, listen, would Jesus have been right to not answer them? Absolutely. But the mercy of God, not willing that any should perish, wanted them to hear the truth. And so he answered them and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. Let's put the shoe on the right foot. And I want you to answer me. But really, what is he doing? He is wanting to expose and reveal their own heart. Now watch what happens here. Verse 4, he asks them this question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? That's an easy question. But notice their counsel. Notice they gathered together. Look what they did in verse 5. And they reasoned with God and his word. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? Now you remember the story of the birth of John the Baptist with his father and his mother, and how he was a priest fulfilling the duties, and he had the vision of the Lord, and everybody during the time of that experience knew that God had been with him and gave him a revelation of his son that was going to be born. And so for many reasons, they knew that John the Baptist was a prophet of God. And so the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? The truth is, it was from heaven. But they reasoning among themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But, and if, they flipped the coin. They put the coin on the other side. But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Did you see that? They're deceiving themselves. They're not willing to agree with God because it would expose that they were in error. They weren't willing to deny the truth because then it would cause and bring ridicule amongst their people. And so, what was their answer? And they answered in verse 7 that they could not tell whence it was. Did you see verse 6? But if we say, of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. Question, were they being honest? Were they being honest? That's being self-deceived. Listen, can we walk in sin and not be bothered by it and God be okay with it? Can a child of God blatantly deny the word of God or excuse the word of God in their own personal life, walk in it and say, I have no interest in changing. I'm okay with it. Oh, the grace of God. Is that really how the grace of God works? Oh, it's okay. It's a license to sin. The grace of God is a license to sin. I got heaven. I'm going to live how I want, and I'm going to go to heaven anyway. Is that what God puts in the heart? Listen, the Bible tells us that it grieves the Spirit of God that dwells within us when we walk that way. And if our spirit is connected to the, if our spirit is connected to God's spirit, it will grieve you and I. The Bible says there's no man that sinneth not. That's true. Is it not? There's no man that sinneth not. Is that the truth? To the deceiver or the self-deceive, it's their pillow. I can rest in that. To the child of God, it's a bed of thorns. It's a bed of nails. It bothers us. There's no man that sinneth not. Oh God, please, Lord, not in me. That my life might count and be glorified. Listen, what I'm sharing with you this morning is not very popular today. But I want you to know something. What's true is not always popular. And what's popular is not necessarily or always the truth. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Will we serve ourselves? That's what these... by the way, they're the religious group, are they not? They're the religious leaders. May I tell you, we have religious leaders today that would say, it's all right. They would confront, they would say to me, What are you preaching? And by what authority? And I would simply say, the Word of God. What are you preaching and deceiving the hearts of men? And so God wants us to understand where these people are coming from. They are self-deceived. And it's a bad way to walk, because it causes us to not be honest with ourselves. They say, well, my goodness, if we say this, we're in trouble. Whose authority did John baptize with? If we say from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't we believe it? Well, we should stop and just rest right there and say, why not? And the truth is, because I didn't like it. The truth was because it didn't allow me to go my way. See, God's not looking, listen, when we seek to follow the Lord, we're not the ones telling God how things ought to be. He's the one telling us and guiding us. If we're truly Christ-like, if we're truly wanting to serve Him, it ought to bother us. There's a lot of people today that are not bothered by the things that are contrary to the Word of God. And they have no shame, and they have no desire to change things or ask God to do them. Here's the wonderful thing. Listen, God is not asking us to change them. He's asking us to bring them to Him so that He can change them. But we have to first agree that He's right and I'm wrong if I'm walking contrary to the Word of God. So, Jesus says to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, do you think He's finished with them? That's the self-deception part. All right, ready? Now we're going to move into human reasoning. Look what happens here in verse 9. Then began He to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen. These are farmers. And went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him. This is the servant of the husbandman, the farmer, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. So these are the people that he put to work over his field, and the owner, the farmer, gives him these three people to come, and they despitefully use him, them. Verse 13. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? The Lord is speaking. And you remember, the scribes and the priests and the elders were listening to this. And so he says, I know. He says, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will receive him when they see him. Would a farmer really think that? Maybe. Because, listen, you know one thing that they knew? That when you sent the Son, you were giving the authority of the Father. That's why Jesus Christ, when He said, I'm the Son of God, they understood that He was of God and was God. And that's what bothered them. They didn't want that. See, they had their own little thing going on, and it did not line up with what God's thing was. And here's what the problem was. What God does prevails. And they didn't like that. They were enjoying what they were doing, and they did not want God to interfere. Do you think that might be true today? There are people that are doing things today that call themselves Christians, but they don't want God interfering in their life. And this is using human reasoning. I want to profess Christianity, but I don't want all that other rigmarole stuff that's in the Bible. I just want to just say, you know what? I've made my peace. I've done the right thing. And then it says here, but when, verse 14, but when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance might be ours. Now, how does that happen? Listen to the human reasoning. How can you come to that conclusion? I'm going to kill the son of the owner of the thing, and it will be mine. But may I tell you something? They believe that that's going to take place because they're going to have possession of it. But could that be any further from the truth? How does that happen? And yet this is what they were reasoning. Now the Lord's just giving this illustration to them for them to consider their own heart. And so verse 15, so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Isn't that interesting? The Lord is now talking to them. He's asking a question. Now remember, there's other people that are there as well listening to this, because the elders and the scribes and the religious elders, they were afraid of being stoned by the other people. So it's not just them. There's a whole host of people that are there. And so notice verse 16. He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others to work in. It's not theirs. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Who said that? That was the elders. That was the scribes. In another gospel, it says they perceived that he was talking about them. The scribes and the elders. They perceived that the Lord was revealing who they were. Because who was he? He was the son of the vineyard. And he knew their hearts, did he not? Question, does God know our hearts today? What are we seeking? Are we seeking him in the truth? Or are we seeking ourselves through self-deception and human reasoning? Do we excuse and explain away the things of God? And so they said, God forbid. Verse 17. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? And it's written in Psalm 118. We won't go there. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So did you see that? Listen, if we fall on the stone, it breaks us. But if we allow the righteousness of God, because we reject it, it's going to grind us to powder. Do you think that there's going to be one person that will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ himself one day when all of humanity stands before him? Do you think there might be one person that will not say, my Lord and my God? They will all confess him when we stand before the righteousness of God. But what keeps them deceived like this? That they would reject even in front of the face of God. And so verse 19, and the chief priest and the scribes the same hour. And by the way, we're moving now into a revelation rejected. They said, God forbid. And here in verse 19, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived. Remember who these are, the chief priests and the scribes? For they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Did they perceive rightly? Amen. Is the Holy Spirit saying something to you and I? Absolutely. What will we do with it? Will we submit and surrender? Or will we harden our hearts against God and his word and his revelation? Listen, this word was penned down for our instruction. Why? Because our hearts are prone to wander. They're prone to drift. And so we will either say, oh, Lord, it's me. Oh, Lord, that I might not ever be self-deceived, that I might not ever use human reasoning, that I might never reject a revelation from your word that you've given to me, because the potential is always there. Verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor. Do you think there's anything different in our day and age? Do you think it's ever been done before in our history, in other countries, maybe in our country, to profess the truth that there's no other name whereby men must be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think they might call that hate speech one day, if not already? How will we stand? Do we need the Lord? Do we need the grace of God? Are we playing church, or is this serious? Jesus Christ gave his blood for the church. It's serious. And it's time for God's people to walk right with the Lord. And that's by His grace, not our strength. You don't have to look very far in your own life to realize you'll fail without God. And we need you. And so should we be a people of prayer? God says you're a peculiar people. How are we walking? This word this morning, we could say, well, that's to the lost person. Oh, no, it's to the saved person. All Scripture has been given for reproof, correction, and to build us up. That we might realize, hey, listen, I'm being confronted by the truth. Am I confronting it? And am I saying, Lord, I want you to have your way. I want to walk in your way. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. It'll lead me astray every time. Where does it all begin? Well, it begins with eternal life. As knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And how does that come? By the grace of God. Is it possible to just say, Jesus, save me, and not really be saved? How would you know? Look at your life and the direction it's going in. Is God guiding it? Or are we guiding it? Look at the life of these elders. Was God guiding their life? Isn't that amazing? God was not guiding their life, and we know it. We can also tell it if God is guiding our life. More so than if God is guiding the life of others. And that's who God wants us to be concerned about. Beginning with salvation and then each and every day. It's time for God's people to be serious with their God. Because He shed His blood to give us eternal life and be the light of our life. His light. And that His righteousness might rule and reign in our life. And all we have to do is just present ourselves, yes, Lord, a living sacrifice, and you do with my life as you please. And He makes a difference. And that's when the joy and the comfort and the confidence comes in. Come what may, we're in His hands. We've given our lives, surrendered it completely. It's yours, a living sacrifice. When there's a sacrifice, except for living ones, right? When we were crucified with the Lord, when somebody was crucified, there was one thing everybody knew. They weren't going to come down off that cross. When we are crucified with Christ, we're not taking anything back with the Lord. Is that what we want? It's what God wants. That our life might be His, and that He might live His life in our life, and that's where we experience the revelation of God's grace in our life. Not just on Sundays. Every day. Every day. You know why? Because we need God. Every day. So this morning, are you confronting the truth? And is it confronting you? Here's the answer. Yes, it is. The truth will confront you. If you're a saved child of God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and will tell you. You need to be in the Word. You need to call upon me. And we know when we're neglecting those things. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And says, this is what's important. Or we're rejecting those things. We're either receiving or rejecting. This morning God says, if you'll walk and seek me, you will find me. And I will bear fruit in your life. Remember? Let me remind you. John 15. Without me, you can do. So we need Him, don't we? What will be your choice? Will it be Christ? Or will it be self-deception, human reasoning, or rejecting the revelation that God gives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray. Lord, I ask for your mercy and your grace on the membership, Lord, on each and every one of us. Here at Northwood Baptist Church, the church that you've placed us in, and for those who are unable to be here this morning, that you would create in our hearts a hunger and a thirst after you and your righteousness. Lord, that we would become more fervent by your grace to seek you in a greater way, even more so than ever before, that we might humbly walk with you and call upon you, Lord, to have your will and your way in our lives, that we might truly be that living sacrifice you've called us to be. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, may you allow them to see that need this morning and trust you even today. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.